Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Advertising Week Europe. I'm Ruth Mortimer, Global President at Advertising Week, and I have with me the lovely Tushar Joshi, who is Head of Product, PX Perform at Publicis Production. There's a lot of P's there. Really over-indexed on the P's. Now, if like me, you've come to this stage because you want to understand how AI is really going to affect creativity, you're at the right place. We're going to have two really quick-fire conversations. I'm going to ask Tushar and then my next guest, Salvatore, a lot of questions. And if you guys would like to join in and ask some questions too, please open your app, use Slido, and you can ask questions. And if we have time at the end, we'll get to those. Now, I'm going to be honest, Tushar. I need you to tell me, what is PX Perform?
Okay, so PX Perform is our take on modular creative solutioning. So, but, you know, to delve a bit into the journey of this, back in 2019, 2020, we were facing the challenge that we thought that most of the creatives were taking a linear journey to the solution. The shooting and everything happening at one stage, the editing happening then, and the final creative being created and then being shipped out for activation and all the purposes. What we found that at that point in time, a lot of brands did not have the most compelling story that they wanted at the start of that stage. So they wanted the creative to, as the creative went out into the market, they wanted it to be seen by the people, react, and then adapt. And that's how this whole platform, came into picture. So the platform itself, you can think of it as a conveyor belt, which is, bringing across the creatives, the media, the activation, all the different partners which touch a creative itself. Putting it on the conveyor belt then packages it up, sends it out, understands, how people are reacting, relearns, repackages, and resends it out. So it's an automated self-learning cyclic tool that can help you modify your creative as you go on.
That's very cool. Although it makes me slightly worried for creatives. So tell me, what role do people play in the platform? Where do they fit into it?
So while the final product is modular, the modules are still coming from the actual creative, like the actual, creative guys who have this knowledge of, who have this funky knowledge of, what to put in there. So anything in a video creative, actually, I should say, because we are only targeting videos, anything in the video creative itself could be modular. So it could be the characters, the backgrounds, the music, the text that comes into the creative, that all could be modular. But then who puts it there is actually the real creative. We still want the human mind to come in and build a compelling story for the final product. So while the product itself modulates the creative, it does not create. So we are not generative AI yet, The modules itself could come from generative AI, which is trying to, help everyone create more compelling stories. But the module that comes out or the final finished product is always, it actually whatever is built in the creator's mind, as in how far your imagination can go, that's how much it can adapt.
Okay, so you're automating this kind of amazing sort of feedback loop where you're putting a creative idea out into the market, getting feedback, feeding it back in and adapting it along the way. So tell me a bit about how then you've been able to adapt stories as you've kind of put them through that process.
So let's take an example of a hotel chain. Back in COVID, when actually COVID hit, what happened was that the AI itself started seeing people react better to local destinations. And it's quite understood why that would be happening, right? Because of COVID, travel was restricted. It was very difficult for people to have more engaging story when they were asked to travel from UK to US or UK to, European countries. But when it came to the local areas and regions, they were able to still connect with that idea. So how the AI adapted was that after learning this information of people are thinking about it, it started adapting to local stories more. So if you are living in UK, you might start getting more destinations which are based out of UK. If you're living in France, you might start seeing more destinations living out of France. And that's, you know, so as the journey went along, it adapted itself to relate more with the external factors that might be affecting your creative, not at individual audience level. At no point we're trying to compete with Google and Meta and be the individual targeter of that sort. But yes, at a holistic level, it started modifying the creative, making it more, you know, more relatable to the current, whatever the users are currently seeing it, however the audience are currently reacting to it.
And explain to me, when you talk about feeding back in the reactions of people, where are you getting those reactions from?
So that's an interesting point. So we do in the market have a lot of tools which rank creators, which might be helping you understand, oh, this creative works better than this particular creative. But most of those tools, as far as you know, we know, we have explored the market, they are trying to help you create that creative and then deliver it into asset library, DAMs, you know, line boxes from where the activators pick it up, surface it to the audience, understand it, put the information that they've learned back to the creators. The creator might go back again and say, oh, yes, I've learned, understood that fact that, oh, this is React, this particular section of, oh, let's, for an example, you know, outdoor videos are reacting better than indoor videos. So I'll shoot more outdoor videos and all that stuff. What we did was that, and this whole loops take a lot of time, so it cannot happen in real time. So how we approached the problem was a bit different. We approached it as a end-to-end automated solution. So our, you know, by coming back to the example of the conveyor belt, our conveyor belt hits both the side of creatives. So the creators, you know, who are shooting, acquiring the creatives, the editors who are editing it, finishing the product, the module directors who are bringing these modules in, who can, you know, then combine the final creative, linking it back to the channels, could be social, programmatic, any channel, taking the feedback from there and then feeding it back. So because this whole belt of work has been automated end to end, this whole thing can happen in real time. And as a producer or as, you know, someone who is just creating the stuff, you can do it once with all your imaginative power of variations and then let the AI take over and, you know, modulate it. And you can also introduce more stories if you want to, you know, middle of learning, you understand that, FIFA has announced their new dates and you want to introduce a football related creative, you can do that. You know, you can bring still change that module to bring in a new compelling story and the AI will readapt to it.
So can you give us another example? You mentioned one about during COVID with local destinations. Give us another example of how someone might use this.
If I'm a phone chain and I know I'm going to release like 70 odd new features in my upcoming product, could be screen size, camera, battery power, all that stuff, I have a holistic view of, yes, each of the features that I've developed would have been solving a problem, would have come out of a huge amount of research, you know, why are we doing it and why are we trying to solve the problem? But then I'm not sure that in the current market trend, what is going to connect most, or my competitor might come out together, you know, tomorrow and he might introduce a feature which I want to counter with another feature that I already have. So I do not know what I'm going to be, you know, get most return on investment from. So then this module can come into you, this product can come into the picture. You can just dump all the information that you have, put it into the modular content and let the AI understand what the audience is liking most. So it could be region-based, people in a particular region are more reactive, or age-based, you know, some people are more certain sections of the age are more reactive to battery power and camera, and certain sections of the age are more attractive to screen size. You know, I'm not putting any holistic view to it, but yes. And the AI can then understand how to relate these audience sections with the exact modular features that might relate best, and then it might, you know, it can modify all that stuff for you. So
okay, so it's kind of testing and learning all the time, serving you what it thinks will most work. How do you make sure? So one of the big questions I always have about AI is, how do you make sure that it's brand safe, legal, isn't infringing anyone's IP, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so what has happened is that with generative AI, this topic has become more and more important because we're trying to create the finished, obviously the goal of Gen AI has always been the finished asset itself, which goes out to the world, be coming out of this, you know, module, which is not human, right? Yeah. But, and Sora and, you know, GPTs, LLMs and all these coming into the picture, this has obviously disrupted the whole market very properly. But there's still extensive amount of problems of hallucination, which might happen. We're not saying that, you know, obviously the people who are building it, they're very intelligent. They're making sure that they're compliant, but then it can happen. And there always has to be a human check or a modulator in between who makes sure that nothing. So if I'm, for example, in the healthcare industry, I have to be very sure that each message that I put out, it can never go out of tone because I could be sued massively. In case of modular content, this problem can never occur because, you know, at the end, while generative AI might be creating modules for you,
yep,
it can, every modular, you know, every possible mod, every possible element of the module that is being created is always going to be brand approved. So we can never go out of brand compliance. So the structure itself is what is, you know, the theme is what is modulating. Not the content itself, because the content itself is still coming from creators who might be using Gen AI, who might be doing it themselves. We don't restrict you. But then every time the creator puts that content in, it obviously has gone through someone's visual, you know, perception. So it can never go uncompliant and, you know, serve something which is going to cause a huge amount of problems.
Understand. So last question. So I understand because humans are effectively, the creatives are still putting in the modules.
Yeah.
You still have that kind of brand safety. But can the original idea, one of the great things about creativity is you have an idea and it goes out sort of pure as the idea you had. Can your original idea be diluted by the endless rounds of feedback? Is it like a client who gives you too much feedback? We all know.
Not diluted, but your original idea might grow, is what I'll say. You know, so as creators, when we put this whole thinking around the outline, the shine of the story and all that stuff, we have a range of possibilities that we think about, you know, and that is the range we want, that range can grow as the campaign goes along. So it will never get diluted because at the end, it will be the creator's idea of story that will come out, you know. Even in generative AI, there's a prompt which is done by someone who has creativity and understands the fact that, you know, what am I going to show to the people? And it's the same thing, right? So the module itself is still someone's idea. So how wide the idea can go in terms of human thinking, that's how wide the product can, you know, modulate it. And it can help you grow it. Not change it, but grow it, you know. At the end, it's your call. You want to take the feedback and let it happen. Add more ideas to your module, or you do not want. So it will never, you know, saying that it will, you know, it will go away from the original idea is not the right. It will always grow the idea.
Well, you're the real creative between us two, Shal, because you see the idea growing. I was worried about my idea, but you got us here. So we're almost out of time. Tell me, what's the kind of one really important thing that people in the room should take away from working like this? Because it's quite different from a traditional creative setup.
Yeah. So the one very big thing that we want the creators and the, you know, the activators to take forward is that this whole cycle has to become the linearity of the cycle of, you know, delivery. We have to come out of that mindset. We have to come into a mindset of recursive learning. And that's when we're going to make the most impact from our creators. You have to, there have been tools always, you know, where when we serve something out, we understand how it performed and then we learn and then we actually send it across, you know, we modify it. But we've been so adapted or attached to the linearity of the idea that this whole thing has been done through heavy lifting by analytics. You know, media performance analytics and all that stuff. So we have to come out of that idea. We have to put it into automation so that this can happen in real time. Otherwise, you know, with the technology and the perception of people and so much content to consume changing so rapidly, if we keep on relying on the heavy lifting being done by humans, and thinking linearly, we will never be able to achieve the best creative. So we have to start thinking modular. We have to start thinking cyclic.
I love it. Let the AI and automation take the process. The humans can still have the amazing ideas that make an incredible evolving story. Tushar, thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcanda, the audio conference solution.